One of the questions we sometimes wonder is why God even put a tree in the Garden of Eden and said, no, you cannot eat from it. Why would he allow Adam and Eve to be tempted in the first place? Why is there evil in the world? Why would Jesus be tempted? For some of us, it doesn't even make sense. Why do we pray in the Our Father, lead us not into temptation, asking God to not lead us into it? It's a very serious question why there's evil in the world, and therefore why temptation exists. And St. Alphonsus Liguori says that there are three reasons why God allows us to be tempted, why he would allow evil to exist in the first place. The first is this. He says, yet the Lord sometimes permit that souls, which are dear to him, should be tempted with some violence in order that they may better understand their own weakness and the necessity of grace to prevent them from falling. In other words, he will allow temptation and evil in our lives so that we can learn our dependency on God. I was just visiting with somebody the other day about, you know, why evil was happening in their life. They began to tear up and because they, you know, knew how much it had affected them and really shaken their faith to the core. And at that moment, I remember visiting with them and wondering, what if God allowed temptation and evil in this person's life to turn that person toward God? You know, what if we were left to our own devices and we just went our own way with our lives and there were never any hiccups and we grew rich and famous and well-to-do and we didn't have any cares in the world? And that led us straight to hell. Maybe God allows those hiccups in our lives, those temptations in our lives, specifically to get us to need him. Because otherwise, in our human error, we would say, God, I don't need you. I've got everything. I know it also sometimes brings out our weaknesses. Sometimes when I'm talking to a group, especially about priesthood, one of the most common questions I get is, Father, what's the most difficult part about being a priest? And when I was very first a priest, I could come up with all sorts of things that were new and I'd never done before that were especially difficult. But in the last 4 or 5 years, I've arrived at one answer very consistently. When people ask me what's the most difficult part about being a priest, my answer is me. Because of my weaknesses. And the challenges of life, the challenges of our vocation, whether it's being a priest or being a parent, doesn't it bring out our weaknesses, our impatience with our children, our lack of resolve in our spiritual lives? You see, God allows temptations in our lives specifically to bring those weaknesses to the surface and to deal with them, to make us stronger. Because otherwise, we'd probably just bury those weaknesses and go on as if they never existed. Secondly, St. Alphonsus Liguori says this, God permits us to be tempted that we may be more detached from the things of earth and conceive a more ardent desire to behold him in heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. Even people I know who are what we might consider horrible people, they still want to go to heaven. But sometimes we have a misconception of heaven, that it's going to be some type of perfection of earth. And in some ways it is, in that the good things of earth will be perfected. But I also wonder, and I can't say I've got the answer, will there be plasma TVs in heaven? Will there be soccer basketball in heaven? And if so, will they be undefeated every season? Will there be cars? And if there are, will there be Ferraris? And if so, will I get one? Because I sure don't want to end up with a Pinto in heaven. Will there be Xbox in heaven or iPods? And will iTunes be free? We can often tend to think of heaven as some type of perfection of all the things we want in this life. And yet, God allows temptation specifically so that we can detach from the things of this world. And this Lenten season is a particular time to do that. This past Wednesday, I invited our school students to begin a digital fast. And I joined them, as difficult as it was. I pulled out my Kindle and I looked at it. And I thought to myself, yes, I watch episodes of Stargate on here, nerd that I am. And I read books on here, many of them theological. And I do my prayers on here, my I Breviary, Divine Office. There's an app for that. And so I tried to figure it out in my head that I could justify keeping this around for Lent and ask everybody else to give it up. But in the end, I knew it was an excuse. How many of us turn towards the things that are really of this world to satisfy us instead of turning towards the things of God? Ignatius of Antioch says, "Do not have Jesus Christ on your lips and the world in your heart." Lastly, St. Alphonsus Liguori says that God also permits us to be tempted to increase our merits. What does that mean? Miss Seifert, would you come up here? Yes, Taylor, you. Sorry if you're embarrassed, but she's going to be a perfect example because we just talked about this on Friday. On Friday, you had two suitors who were after you. What were their names? Gilbert and Sullivan. There's only two boy names I could come up with quickly. Okay, and Gilbert, both were in love with you, right? Yes. This is all imaginary, by the way. We were doing this in class. And Gilbert was in love with you, and what did he say to you to try to win your heart? That he wanted to marry you. And why? Do you remember? Because who told him to? God. So God comes to Gilbert, say in a dream, and says, "Gilbert, I want you to marry Taylor." And so he comes to Taylor one night, and he gets down on one knee, and he says, "Taylor, God told me I have to marry you. Will you marry me?" Now, Sullivan's, she says she's got to think about it, right? Right, that's the prudent thing to do. But Sullivan comes the next night, only complicating the matter, and he gets down on one knee and he says what? "Will you marry me?" But before he says that, do you remember what he said? He said, "Taylor, you are the most beautiful woman in all the world, and out of all the girls in all the world, I want to spend the rest of my life with you." Which one would you say yes to? Sullivan, why? Because he made the choice, right? Let's give Taylor a round of applause. And if you know any guys named Sullivan, she might be in the market. What's the difference? The difference is a choice, right? If God makes us do something, there's no love in that. There's no love when we're forced to do something. There's love only in choice. This is why Adam and Eve had to have the choice of disobeying God in the garden to be able to love Him back. Why Jesus Christ had to be tempted in the desert to be able to show that He actually loved God more than the things of this world. And why you and I are also tempted. There's no merit. There's no real goodness in not being tempted at all. If you're never tempted, if you never have the choice to do evil, then where's the love in that? It's like Gilbert saying, I have to marry you. Ladies, how flattering would that be if your spouse said, well, God told me I had to marry you. I don't have a choice. Versus the man that comes up and says to you, out of all the women in the world, I have chosen you. There is only merit in choice. God allows us to be tempted, to bring out our weaknesses and see our need for Him. What weakness is God exploiting in your life right now? What weakness has He brought to the surface? And what grace do you need to ask Him for tonight to conquer that weakness? Have you become detached from worldly things, especially as we begin this Lenten season? Blessed Henry Soso says, a detached man should always be looking to see what he can do without. What can you do without? And God allows us to be tempted to increase our merits by making a decision for Him, a decision out of love. St. Francis de Sales, it is not always in the soul's power not to feel temptation, but it is always in its power to not consent to it. Do not fear temptation. It's not a bad thing. God did not say you will not be troubled. God did not say you will not be tempted. God did not say you will not be distressed. Julian of Norwich reminds us. And he goes on to say that God said, you will not be overcome.